Thank you. welcome to Christmas Eve here at St Andrew's on the Terrace. Our gathering is inside the front cover of the Order of Service, and please join in with me now.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor human decision, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came, full of grace and truth. Kia ora tato. It's good to welcome you here this evening, and we've opened the windows. Let us know if that's not cool enough, and we'll open some more doors and things. It's great to have you all here. I should have had more faith and printed more orders of service. Are there any people who can't see anything? Perhaps you could put your hand up and someone nearby might share. There's a few people up the back, so if you've got lots in your row. Christmas is the art of giving. It's lovely to welcome you all, and particularly we welcome Georgia, who has come all the way from Paris to sing to you the solo this morning, and the first thing, and I'm sure you'll agree. Church is one of those funny places, you don't quite sure whether you should clap or not, do you? So we're going to move into using the Advent wreath as a moment to remember. And so the first candle of hope which we light is to remember those whom we have loved and lost. We pause to remember their name, their face, their voice, the memory that binds them to us in this season, in the hope they will continue to make a difference to our lives. May God's caring love surround them and us. The second candle of peace we light is to mend the pain of loss. The loss of relationships, the loss of jobs, loss of health and home. We pause to gather up the pain of the past and offer it to God, asking that we receive the gift of peace. Refresh, restore, renew us, we pray, and lead us faith into the future. The third candle of joy we light for ourselves. We pause to remember past weeks and months and years, the disbelief, anger and down times, the poignancy of reminiscing, hugs and handshakes of family and friends who stood with us. Let us remember dawn defeats darkness, for joy comes in the morning. The fourth candle of love we light is to remember the gift of love which the Christmas story offers us. We remember creativity God companions us, sharing our life, being with us, Emmanuel. Let us look for new possibilities now in the present. Spirit of God, calm our hearts so we can hear your still small voice. Amen. I see some children here. Do you want to come and join me at the front and hear a bit of a story? Have a seat. Squash in, there's plenty of room. Hi, how's Christmas going so far? Any presents yet? Lots? Oh, that's good. Hi. Okay. Really? I just got whispered something very secret. So you can have a choice. Will we read Jesus Christmas Party or the Caravan Christmas? Or the Christmas Caravan? Okay, we'll have to have a vote. Hands up for this one. One, two, hands up for this one. Okay, Caravan Christmas wins. And I'll tell you what, the people who voted for the first one can take the book with them and read it later on. So this is about a boy called Simon. And Simon and his mother lived in a caravan park on the outskirts of town. Some of the townspeople said the park was untidy and should be closed down. But Simon and his mother, it was better than the big block of flats that they had lived in before. "We're so lucky to have this place," his mother would say. "The caravan may be small, but..." but it's great to have our own space. One hot December afternoon, Simon happened to see a competition entry form in the local newspaper. "Look, Mum," he said, "we could enter this competition for the best decorated house. The prize is a holiday at the beach, staying at a motel. You always say you wish we could have a holiday by the sea." His mother hesitated. "It's true, and I think it's a great idea. The problem is I can't afford to buy fancy Christmas ornaments or strings of coloured lights." Simon thought for a while, then his face brightened. "We'll make our own decorations," he said. So with a bag in each hand, Simon hunted around the caravan park collecting junk. He brought several loads back to the caravan, hosed them clean in the yard, and sorted the different items into piles. "Now we need a can opener and scissors," he said to his mother, and together they threaded cans of many colours onto lengths of string. "Wow, look at the caravan. There it is." They turned the plastic bottles into bells and used them to decorate the outside of the caravan. They then stood back to admire their work. Simon looked thoughtful. "It's beautiful," he said, "but it doesn't look Christmassy enough. I think we need one more thing." He straightened out some crumpled sheets of tin foil and made a big silver star. His mother hung it from the aerial on the caravan roof. "That's just what was missing," she said. Don't know what it did to their TV reception. A map in the local newspaper showed the addresses of all the entries in the competition. As Christmas drew near, crowds of people went out at night to marvel at the many houses festooned with twinkling coloured lights. There were scenes of Santa Claus with his sleigh and reindeer prancing high across the rooftops. Richly decorated Christmas trees stood in front of windows, surrounded by piles of presents. Although their address was listed with the others in the newspaper, no one from the town came to look at the decorated caravan. Some of their neighbours in the park just stared and whispered to one another, but others told Simon the caravan looked as colourful as a Christmas card. However, everyone agreed that the park looked a lot tidier now that the rubbish had been picked up. They said they'd try to keep it that way. The mayor and two of his councillors were judging the competition. On the night they were going to choose the winner, Simon waited all evening for the judges to arrive. They did not come. "Perhaps they got lost," his mother said as she comforted him and tucked him into his bunk. "What do you think's going on here?" Next morning, she telephoned the mayor. "Our caravan was on the list," she told him. "Couldn't you find it?" "Well, that wasn't exactly the problem," replied the mayor. "There were so many magnificently decorated houses to choose from, it was getting late, and after all, a caravan just isn't really a house." "This caravan is our home," Simon's mother replied, "and it was my son's idea to decorate it. He's very disappointed that you and the other judges did not come to see it." Look at that big robe that the mayor's wearing. Looks pretty important, doesn't he? Look at the big car that's arrived. That evening, a big shiny car drove slowly into the caravan park. Simon jumped up and down with excitement as the mayor and councillors stared at the decorated caravan. The councillors mumbled words like, "very different, most unusual." The mayor asked Simon about the decorations and listened carefully as he explained about making them. Then the mayor talked with the councillors and they looked for a long time at the silver star that hung above the caravan. Finally, the mayor cleared his throat and said, "We have already chosen the best decorated house. That was decided last night, but we think your caravan deserves a special award. I have a friend who runs a camping ground by the beach. How would you like to stay there for a week at my expense in your caravan?" Simon was so excited when the time came to go on holiday that he didn't mind taking down the decorations. He put them in the new recycling bins that had been placed in each corner of the caravan park. The neighbours in the park had a collection and bought Simon a boogie board. The councillors gave gifts of beach towels and sunscreen. Everyone cheered and waved as Simon and his mother set off on their journey to the beach, with the caravan towed behind the mayoral car. This is worth having a bit of a look at. Yeah. I knew that big car was going to be useful for something. They had a wonderful holiday, surfing and swimming and enjoying the sunshine. Simon's mother said it really was a dream come true. "I wish we didn't have to leave," Simon said when the week was nearly over. He loved the beach and he had made some new friends who went to the local school. His mother smiled. "Well, I've been offered a job at the beach store. If we want to, we can stay here for as long as we like." They sent a letter to the mayor to thank him and tell him their good news. In time, the caravan became too small for Simon and his mother, and they moved into a cottage beside the store. They kept the caravan on the front lawn for when friends from town came to stay. Every Christmas, Simon decorated it with seashells, adding more and more each year, and people came to look at it all year long. There it goes. Looks pretty cool with all the seashells on it. So that's a good idea, making your own presents out of junk, isn't it? Do you know what we did one year? We got all the junk mail that came in the newspaper and through the letterbox, and we cut it up and made paper chains. And we made heaps and heaps of paper chains with all that junk mail. It's a good use, eh? So we're going to sing a bouncy song now. It's, you go back to your places, you might be able to see some of the words. Oh, look, more words have arrived. And you can certainly sing in the chorus because it's the same every time. And it's about welcoming people to the stable. And I want to just talk about one verse so that people know the background. There's a verse that says, "Fallen off the back of a skip just lately, feeling rather bruised, yes, and shook up greatly." And we haven't included it. It's not there. We sang it this morning. Well, there is a verse, another verse, about being in a skip and being shook up and bruised. And Colin Gibson wrote that because a gay friend had been beaten up in Dunedin and tossed into a skip and left behind. And that verse was specially for them. And I suspect that the last verse, "Can't afford a coat and the kids are crying," are about other people that Colin knew in Dunedin too. So let's stand and sing this. Open, open, open the stable door. Everyone's welcome.
Thank you.
Lighting the Christ candle, we have waited with hope for justice and righteousness. We have waited with peace for shalom to be felt. We have waited with joy, celebrating what has already been done. We have waited with love, awed by how love has been shown to us. Tonight we light the Christ candle to celebrate the light of love coming into the world through Jesus' birth. The light of hope and peace, joy and love shines from that stable so long ago into every corner of the world. May we sing the joy of its coming. May we live by that light today and throughout the year, so peace and goodwill truly transform the world. Be seated if you like, but you might like to stay standing and move around and pass the peace. We do this really enthusiastically at St Andrews, so say hello, say Merry Christmas, say Happy New Year.
Readings from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the whole Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby swaddled in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Nativity by Peter Cape. They were set for home, but the horse went lame, and the rain came pelting down out of the sky. Joe saw the hut, and he went to look, and he said, "She's old, but she'll keep you dry." So her boy was born in a roadman's shack by the light of a lamp that would hardly burn. She wrapped him up in her hubby's coat and laid him down on a bed of fern. Then they came riding out of the night, and this is the thing that she'll always swear. As they took off their hats and came into the light, they knew they were going to find her there. She sat at the edge of the fern stalk bed, and she watched, but she didn't understand. While they put those bundles by the baby's head, that river nugget into his hand. Then she watched as they went through the open door, weary as men who have ridden too far. And the rain eased off, and the low cloud broke, and through the gap shone a single star. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word of God within us, we give thanks.
Thank you.
One of the things I enjoy most about Christmas Eve is preaching the 45-minute sermon. Let us pray. In these moments, as we reflect on this marvellous story, may we find that it makes its way inside us to our very depths. So may it be. Amen. Years ago, my mother and I went to the small Salvation Army Corps in Queenstown for a night just such as this. It was Sunday and Christmas Eve at the same time. The little congregation was mounting a nativity play by the children of their Sunday school. And some of you will have heard me talk of the way the little shepherds had obviously been told to bow down at the words, "Fear not," for they did so instantly and obediently as if they were puppets worked on invisible strings. We already had had the three kings appear, as the script was the usual mixture of the Matthew story with the kings and Herod, and the Luke story with the shepherds and the angels. So one small Sunday school had already produced a Joseph, a Mary, a Herod, three wise ones, three shepherds, and I was beginning to think that soon we would be running out of actors, and I knew we had the heavenly host to arrive yet. I looked around up the aisle. Three adorable angels were slowly advancing towards the front, and I whispered to my mother, "Here come the multitude of the heavenly host." She turned round too, and we both got the giggles. The young female army officer, who was the narrator, was most displeased with us and frowned awfully at us, which of course only made the giggles worse. A special time can be had surfing YouTube, watching nativity plays just like that one with some fairly spectacular bloopers. As a child, this mysterious symbolic set of stories serving as an overture to the symphony that is Jesus' life, this magical, mysterious narrative captured me completely, as it has the world. There's something about this collection of symbols, the tender mother, the protective father, the innocent child, surrounded by smelly, rough shepherds and smooth, silken strangers, and those angels lighting up the night sky. All of them signposts to what Jesus will be and who he is. A contemplative, born of a mother who, quote, treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. A practical man who knew from his father Joseph what it needed to make a yoke which was easy to bear. A learned teacher steeped in the wisdom of the East and the West. A man of the people, as easy with those who worked the land and tended sheep as with those who made learned arguments. The writers of these two Gospels tell us through these birth narratives that all of this we will see in the life which is about to unfold before us in their Gospels. I want to talk to you tonight briefly about darkness. Darkness also runs through the story of this birth. It's a foil to the glint of gold, the sparkle of starlight, of angelic aura, and the soft light of a Middle Eastern oil lamp. This darkness has many layers, each a signpost to what is truly important. There's the darkness of the Roman occupation. The dark deviousness of politics colours the backdrop of this birth. Placed on stage by Matthew are wise strangers from the East who consult the ruling authorities of the day and tangle with Herod, cruel and self-centered civic leader, puppet of the occupying Roman forces. And then through this darkness and into this night bursts the star. Possibly the so-called Christmas star was a rare planetary alignment, we're told, in the year 6 BC, during which the Sun, Jupiter, the Moon, and Saturn all lay in the constellation Aries. For the astrologers of the time, Jupiter and the Moon together would represent the birth of a ruler with a special destiny, while Saturn was a symbol of giving life. The meaning of the story doesn't depend on either a star or a planetary alignment being true, but the star is as much a character in this drama as any person, and it brings light into the darkness. The shepherds are doing their work in the dark. They're at the bottom of their world, those whom general society would like to keep out of sight and out of mind. Yet they're involved in this birth, which is being written up in such special terms by the gospel writers. Jesus comes not only to the learned, wise, and politically important, but also to the lowly and humble on the edge of respectability, regarded as untrustworthy by the law of the land. And the room where the child is born is dark. You don't waste precious lamp oil on animals. Imagine the warmth of animal bodies, the rustle of straw perhaps, the sharp reek of dung, homely and earthy and basic dark. We, like Mary, need to take the time to ponder the story in the deep, dark places of our hearts. It's good you came here tonight to do so, to take that time. When we have pondered the important in our innermost selves, then we're better equipped to deal with the important in our world. For there's a different kind of darkness in our world, a Herod and a Roman Empire kind of darkness that needs rolling back. We need to roll it back with our weapons of justice and freedom and compassion and courage. We can do that during the year if in moments like this we take time to know our own darkness and let the warm darkness of this birth integrate with it. Much treasure can be gained from the deep, dark depths of this mine of truth, which is these birth narratives. Let me name them. The star tells us, into darkness will come light. The shepherds tell us, even if you feel sidelined and ignored by society, there can be amazing moments of revelation entrusted to you. The travellers from the east tell us, wisdom often appears from a direction you might not have thought of at first. This birth tells us, greatness begins with very, very small beginnings. And it tells us that even if the stable of your life is dark and rough and ready, new life can be born within it. Other sacred truths such as these reside deep in the creativity of the dark womb within you. And there are companions along the spiritual way that can help you access them. You might find them here or out in the field, maybe even while you're watching your flocks at night. A multitude of the heavenly host might just interrupt your mundane day with light and life and glory. So keep watch.
So brightly, as a sign from God that Christ. because we're an international kind of a church, I'm going to pray some of the prayer in French in honour of our French guests. Let us pray. On the eve of Christmas, we offer praise and thanks, for the Christmas story tells us that through the birth of Jesus, God is come in our midst. God is in the love we have for family and friends, and in the love we receive from them, whether they are here with us or far away. God is in the pleasure of gift-giving, in the preparing and sharing of meals, in trips to the beach or the bush, in visits to friends and relatives in hospital and rest homes. May we recognize God in us as we celebrate Christmas and take time to give thanks for all that we have and that we can be. Dieu est l'amour que nous portons à notre famille et nos amis, et dans l'amour qui nous vient de, qu'il soit ici avec nous ou plus loin. Dieu est dans le plaisir que nous avons de donner des cadeaux, dans la préparation et le partage des repas, dans les promenades à la plage ou dans la nature, dans les visites que nous rendons à nos amis et nos proches à l'hôpital et dans les maisons de retraite. Puissions-nous reconnaître Dieu en nous alors que nous célébrons Noël et prenons le temps d'être reconnaissants pour tout ce que nous avons et ce que nous pourrions être. As people all over the world anticipate the birth of this humble child, our Christmas Eve prayer is that we find the sacred in places we are reluctant to look, in the stables of our own lives, among those who are homeless, hungry, lonely, or afraid, in the plight of refugees, in people who are different from us. We pray this Christmas Eve for the people of Palestine, who are literally and disastrously walled in, for the peoples of Syria, Yemen, and Sudan, who have been forced to flee their homes and their countries, and for people everywhere who are oppressed by corrupt leaders and governments who have failed them. We give thanks for those courageous doctors and nurses, journalists and peace workers who are attempting to improve the lives of people affected by war, famine, and sickness. As we anticipate Christmas Day, whatever has been, in the circumstances of life now, and in whatever the future holds for us, let us pause and celebrate the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christmas. Let us give thanks for the wonder and mystery of Christmas. And now we say the Jesus Prayer, which is printed in your order of service, together. Eternal Spirit, life-giver, pain-bearer, love-maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom come on earth, with the bread that we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. And from trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to ask you all to multitask in the next carol, and that is we're going to take up the offering while you're singing the carol. And I've been sitting debating whether that's easier with you standing or sitting, but we'll try standing. We'll give you a few minutes to get those purses out and things like that and get yourselves organised. Tonight's offering goes to Christian World Service, which is a very reputable aid agency that works with partner organisations throughout the world, and one of them is described in your order of service tonight. If you haven't come prepared, don't be embarrassed, just let the basket go by. And if you think, oh, that was a good idea, I wish I had been prepared, there are envelopes at the back that you could take away with you and do something with later, after Christmas, when you've paid all the bills, perhaps. So let's sing standing. The offering carol of the refugee children, which is a new carol written last year by Shirley Murray to the well-known tune of Away in a Manger, but you'll see that the words are quite different. Let's stand to sing. This money is given so those in need in the Philippines, Palestine, South India, Nepal, Syria and South Sudan will get the support they need. We pray for the partner organisations who use it and make decisions about priorities. May they have the strength and wisdom they need. May it be so. Amen. We come now to the communion, and the invitation here at St Andrew's is wide and wide and wider still. All are invited to Christ's table. Wherever you are on your faith's journey, wherever you have come from, wherever you are going, whatever you believe, whatever you do not believe, you are welcome to participate in the communion, which is a meal for all people. If you look down below the communion hymn, there are some instructions about how to take communion. We dip here, meaning you take the bread or the cracker, which is gluten-free, and you dip it in either the wine or the juice, your choice. And you're very welcome to remain with us and stay seated if you don't want to come to communion, but we're really glad that you're all here, and you are all welcome to come forward if you wish. As you come forward, you need to collect a can, or as you come forward, come down the centre aisle and fan off to the left, and as you go back to your seat, please do take a candle. Those of you who haven't come up for communion, Brian will come round with some extra candles so that you make sure that you get your candle for later. It's all a logistical nightmare, and if we all manage to end up doing the right thing, it'll be a miracle. Let us sing now the communion hymn, "Come Now, Lord Jesus, Enter Our Christmas." Let's stand to sing. The communion liturgy is found on the card with the Advent wreath on the front of it. I hope you are able to see one where you are. We find on this table bread much like that Mary and Joseph might have taken on their journey, made from wheat of the field, wine and juice from vineyards on stony hillsides, made from grape of the vine. Menu ingredients for this feast of life. We gather round this table, the table of their son. We claim our place here by right of invitation, by virtue of being human, by the grace of being loved without condition or limit. All are welcome here, including Roger, the people who are at the front porch. You might go and invite them in. Roger? He's trying to do three things at once. They may want to come in, they may not. Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift
up. Let us give thanks. We give thanks that Jesus includes children, boys and girls, includes adults of all sorts, types and orientations, those of every colour and personality. We give thanks that we can approach this table, no matter who we are or who we have been, No matter what our confusions or how deep our doubts, we give thanks that Mary and Jesus and Joseph, in the way they lived on earth, revealed God as that which calls us on to a life greater than we have ever known or have ever. And so we add our praises to those of the faithful of every time and place, joining with the whole of creation in the eternal hymn. Holy, 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 God of power and vulnerability, all the universe is full of the glory of the power of love. Blessed are those who walk in the name of all that is holy. Hosanna in the highest. At his last supper with his friends, people who were much like us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This represents the new covenant. Eat this in remembrance of me." And also after supper, the cup, saying, "This is the cup of new life also. Drink this in remembrance of me." Spirit of all, bless these elements, this bread and this wine, gifts of the earth, that as we eat and drink together in this feast for all, we may be drawn to you afresh and nourished for the journey of life. Amen. Come, eat and drink, for all is ready. Let us pray. We do not leave this family table without thinking of our brothers and sisters around the world who will awaken as the day wears on to Christmas joy. We pray for those who seek the Christ. We pray for those who follow the good and the great in their own religions. We pray for those who find religions hard to follow, but who warm to the movement of the Spirit in their lives. So may they find what it is that they need. So may it be. Amen. We stand to sing the carol, "You Are Born in Us Again." Well, it was a miracle. We got through communion fine. Now let's see if we can get through the candle lighting fine. Just one thing to remember. If your candle is not lit, you are the person that needs to tip the candle. Okay? Now, my four helpers here are going to show you this. They're going to model this perfectly. They're going to bring their candles in and tip them to the Christ candle and light them. And then when they come along at the end of the row, they're going to hold them steady straight, and you're going to tip your candle. Then you hold yours straight, and the next person tips the candle to you. This way, we do not get wax all over ourselves. And so we use the light from the Christ candle to spread out through the church as a symbol of Christ's light spreading through the world. And so I invite you to light your... And we'll dim the lights to see how beautiful all that candlelight looks. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie. A new New Zealand carol that Vivian will play the whole verse through first so that we can hear it, and then we'll start from verse 1.
Thank you.
please stand for the blessing? And we say it together. May the blessings of life be upon us all. May the love we share bring strength and joy to our hearts as we live into the just reign of God. And peace be with us all until we meet again. Amen.